Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read the last part of our gospel lesson for today from Luke chapter 10. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed mercy to him, he said. Then Jesus told him, go and do the same. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, we have a game of sorts in our family in which we try to figure out which character in one of our favorite movies or novels we can best identify with. So sometimes we get to choose which one we think we can identify with best, that person in that novel or that movie. And sometimes another member of our family gets to choose who they think we best identify as. And, you know, so far none of us have been. And of course we have the Good Samaritan. With which can we or should we best identify? We start with the robbers. They are clearly sinners. They beat the man up so he would likely soon die. They take his money and even his clothing and leave him naked. And so they violate the fifth, seventh, and ninth commandments. They beat him, steal, and they covet. They are guilty of the sins of what we call commission. They do what the commandments tell them not to do. Do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. But if you think about it, robbing and the beating would not have happened without coveting or greed. And coveting and greed come from a sinful heart. All sins, in reality, come from a sinful heart. As Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. So the question for you is, can you identify with the robbers? Do you do things you ought not to do? Things of thought, of word, and deed that proceed from a sinful heart. And if you know yourself and the commandments of God at all, you ought to be able to say, yes, I can identify with them. I am guilty of the sins of commission. We move on now to the priest and the Levite. There are two things that make them even worse than the robbers. First, they are believers, or claim to be believers. They have been brought up under the guidance of Scripture. They would say they believe in the God of the Bible, confessing there is only one true God. But their confession of faith is betrayed by their lack of love for a neighbor who is in need. In other words, they are guilty of sins of omission, not doing what the commandment tells them to do. They too were guilty of violating the fifth, seventh, and ninth commandments, not by what they did, but what they did not do. The fifth commandment not only says do not murder, but it also means you are to help and befriend your neighbor in every need. The seventh commandment not only says do not steal, but it also means you help him to protect his goods. The ninth commandment not only says do not covet, but it also means you are to look upon your neighbor in need with a heart of compassion. a compassion that would then be translated into deeds and words of service and help and charity. The priest and the Levite passed by. They did nothing when they could have done something to help. Why? Because they did not care, or thought it was too time-consuming, or were turned off by his appearance, or in too much of a hurry, or thought he was not the kind of a person they could or should associate with, or that he was somebody else's responsibility, even though this was the person, the neighbor, that God placed in front of them. They were guilty of violating the commandments as much as the robbers, but they did so by means of omission. And the sins of omission are terrible sins, especially if one professes to be a Christian. The Apostle John put it this way: we should lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees his fellow believer in need but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. And Jesus makes the point quite clear in Matthew 5. And notice when I read this, the emphasis is on doing what ought to be, what we ought to do, and not just for a select group. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For your Father causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And then he gives an example of a very simple way to love whatever person God puts along your path of life. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Have you ever passed by someone on the sidewalk without greeting him or her? Or in the hallway of your apartment or at school? Have you ever gone through the checkout line at the store without kindly greeting the cashier? Or the waitress at the restaurant? Or the person sitting next to you in a waiting room? So again, the question: can you identify with the priest and the Levite who are guilty of sins of omission? Not doing what you could have done or should have done for that person, whoever he is, right in front of you. I have to admit, when I think of the people next door to me, the people behind me, people two doors down, people I probably don't have a whole lot in common with, but nevertheless, neighbors God sometimes puts in front of me, I have to admit that I can identify with the priest and the Levite. We move on. Now, if you say yes, I can identify with the robbers and their sins of commission, and yes, I can identify with the priest and Levite and their sins of omission, I am truly and seriously guilty before God, then we can and should, in one sense, identify with another person in the parable: the victim, robbed of all that was his, lying naked and dying on the side of the road. For he is the picture of one who says, I am a sinner. For the presence of sin in your life means, like Adam and Eve, you have been robbed by Satan of your sinlessness, even though you are held fully responsible. It means, like Adam and Eve, the nakedness of your sinful flesh is not and cannot be hidden from God. It is exposed. It means, like Adam and Eve, you will die because of your sin and your sinning. The man on the side of the road is a picture of you, fellow sinner. So what do we do? Well, for sure, at this point in the parable, we cannot identify with the Good Samaritan. We cannot yet say, I am like him, I do what he does. But there is somebody else who can identify with him fully. In fact, this somebody else actually is the Good Samaritan. So there you are, fellow sinners, sinning every day of your life, violating in one way or another the commandments of the holy and just God. You are robbed of your sinlessness. You are not on the path of life, but instead you are lying in the ditch next to it, dying and knowing that your death is coming. And men that pass by have nothing to offer you and really don't want to help you anyway, no matter how prestigious or religious they may be. But then a lowly Samaritan comes along, one that the priest and the Levite abhor. His name is Jesus. And though he is a man, he is not merely a man. He also happens to be the Son of God. He sees you in your sinning, in your nakedness, and your dying. And he has the greatest compassion for you. And for a time, he becomes the victim. His sinlessness is stripped from him. And he bears the shameful nakedness of your sins. He is beaten. And then he lies on a cross naked, not only before men, but also before God his Father, where he is dying, and his Father makes sure he does die. But in that death is forgiveness of all your sins. In that death is your life from death. And he comes to where you are right now and covers you with the bandages of that forgiveness that he purchased on the cross. He pours into your wounded, naked, and dying body oil and wine that fight against the deadly infection of sin. He gives you new life. He lifts you out of the ditch of death. He puts you on the road to life. He carries you on his own animal, his own vehicle, you might say. Or as we more commonly say, he carries you along the path of life by his vehicles or means of grace. He brings you to an inn, a church, where you can nurtured, cared for, and fed by an innkeeper, a pastor, who has been given instructions to care for you until this Good Samaritan Jesus returns. And he tells the pastor, innkeeper, spend whatever you have to for his spiritual and eternal health until I come back, and I will. So Jesus can not only identify with the Good Samaritan, but he is the Good Samaritan. He is this pastor's Good Samaritan. He is your Good Samaritan. And once you understand what this Good Samaritan has done for you, then you can begin to identify with him. Then you are to get out of the bed in the inn, and you are to go and do the same. You are to go and show mercy as you have been shown mercy. I want to impress upon you what this means for you today and tomorrow. You are to show mercy to the person that God puts across your path in life. You do not have to love every person in the world. That is impossible, and that is for God to do. But the person that God puts across your path of life today or tomorrow, who might have a need, that is the one to whom you are to show mercy. They may be those you see every day of your life, like family, your friends, people you like to hang with. They may be people who love you and are easy to love in return, or they may not be. They may be the church member who could really use a visit or a phone call because they are lonely or sick. They may be the clerk you can greet at the checkout line. Or they may be somebody you can't stand, or is horrifying to look at. Or they may be somebody who was unkind to you, someone you fear, someone of a different culture, a different religion, who is living in some ugly but society-approved sin. Whereas Jesus said, they may be your enemy, an enemy of Christ, and one who persecutes you. They may be, most importantly, one you are to share the message of the Good Samaritan with, the message of salvation in Christ. This is what it means to be a Good Samaritan. You know, when you get to heaven, you might just say, why did I have to spend all this time on earth when I could have been here in heaven? And the answer is, so that you might be a good Samaritan to those God has put across your path. This is really the only reason we words and from the heart. And it doesn't have to be something fancy or elaborate. It could be simple. A greeting, a visit, a kind gesture, a prayer, a listening ear, a meal, financial help, or whatever. But many times it will be hard and difficult, as we see with Christ. When I was a pastor, and I was visiting a member in a nursing home who was dying of cancer. He looked terrible. And I would say his appearance was horrifying. He was scary to look at. And while I was there, a friend of the family came in who had not seen him like this. But she did not pass him by on the other side of the road. But she walked up to him with no hesitation and no fear, and gave him a hug, a big hug, and kissed him on his cheek as if he were her own dear child. And I said to myself, that is a good Samaritan. For that is how the good Samaritan, Jesus, loved. He loved us just with all our horrifying sins and sinning, without hesitation and with great compassion, he went to the cross for us all. Now go and identify with your good Samaritan. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith. Amen.